Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and our risen Savior. Welcome to another Wednesday night fellowship. You know, on our sober moments, who would have thought that God would have called you or me to be his child? I mean, when we really get honest and think about it, what did we ever do to be worthy to be called by Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, to have an intimate relationship with him as his children and he is our Father? Who would have ever thought, when we come to ourselves on one of our sober moments, that he would consider us one of his children, and that he would save us and justify us and glorify us with his Son and make us his heirs and even conform us to the image of his Son, and then give us a relationship that wasn't formal, but it's Daddy Daddy. It's Abba Father. It's Daddy Daddy. Who would have dreamed that he would have given us access to his throne of grace? Isn't that something? That's our Father. Well, let me have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Greg for manifestations. And I've asked him to teach tonight. I just have had too much on my plate the past couple days. So I asked Greg if he would share the word with us tonight. And he's got a wonderful teaching all prepared for us. So, Father, thank you for your goodness, your great grace, and your love, the mercy that you've shown us. Father, for so loving us that you even gave your only begotten Son for us. We're just so thankful, Father, so appreciative of your great love for us. Words just fail to express what's in our hearts sometimes, but we are so thankful for all that you do for us and your wonderful concern for us and your willingness to help us. So thank you for these things and for the words that you have for us tonight in the manifestations. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Greg?
And Father, thank you for the privilege it is for us to be able to operate this Holy Spirit that you've given us as a gift. And at a time like this, we can hear just wonderful words that edify us. I sure thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Bonnie Johnson, would you please speak in tongues and interpret?
Kriyanda Dios Parios Sephira, Colombo Dios Parios, Kriyanda Kalas Pinyontro, Sieta Bit Pura, Picoma Imbito, Sieta Propra, Sakaki Colombo, Sieta Spera, Count Dios Pidiota. Rejoice this day, my beautiful children, and I say rejoice again, for I have given you my only begotten Son, that you may be righteous and stand before me in great boldness, justified, sanctified, redeemed. You are my precious one, so walk boldly on my word.
Amen.
Thanks, Bonnie. And Mark, would you also please, Mark Johnson, would you please speak in tongues and interpret?
Koshanda lemista papapapasan. Elevasan Danianasan Tador Risa Makalia Piandera, Bashota Bodhia Vedasimatianta. Come to me, my little ones, knowing for surely that my promises are true, that my love is great for you. I am there always and will never, ever leave you.
Thanks, Mark. Anda, Kenny, would you please speak in tongues and interpret as well?
Nesete ki hosana neshe petero sista. Makate nubasa terebeshe sheshokuno tarabasa te te terese kotatama. I love you, my children. I am your father. I am your daddy. You can come to me for any need, for I care for you. You can cast your care upon me. I love you with an everlasting love, and never doubt that. Know that in your heart. It's in my word. Go to the word and stand on it, my children, for I do love you.
Amen. Thanks. Thanks, Anda. Mark, Kenny, would you please bring forth the word of prophecy?
I love you, my children, and I have built within you the power and the ability to be conquerors in every circumstance. Know that I have given you this power. Know that I have sent all that is needed to you through my son, Jesus Christ, and you have that within you. So stand upon my word, knowing who you are and what you have.
Thanks, Mark. Well, tonight we're going to look into God's word on the subject of how much he cares about us. God's great concern for us as children. I'd like to begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This reminds me of when I was pretty young, maybe 17, 18, and I had learned that it was Christ in me, and I learned to speak in tongues, and I knew that nothing would ever separate me from God. And we'd go to the big fellowship, and we'd sing that song, "There's Sunshine in My Soul Today." And I liked the first part of the song very much. I liked that "Sunshine in My Soul Today." But when the chorus came, "There's sunshine, blessed sunshine, sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll," I thought, oh my goodness, is there a possibility that the peaceful, happy moments might not roll for me one day? Because at that time, they were rolling every minute of every day. You know, my song was "Bright and Morning Star Living in My Heart, Take Me Sailing Through a New Day." Well, then, you know, I had no responsibility, and, you know, I had a job, but it was easy. But then I saw this verse: "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And this word tribulation is the Greek word thalipsis. It's Strong's number 2347. It's a great word study to do. It's very enlightening. The Bollinger definition of this is pressure, compression, straightness, hints, pressure from evils, afflictions, or distresses. It's translated tribulation, affliction, trouble, anguish, persecution, burdened, to be afflicted. So it's great that we can be of good cheer because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. In the words of Jesus, he has spoken to us there, is that in him we might have peace. But in the world, you got to understand that this tribulation does not come from God. It doesn't come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the world that we live and walk in. Sometimes I just call it trouble. It's just plain trouble. I want to look at a couple verses that this word thalipsis is used, just to get a feel for it. In Romans 8:35-37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's our word, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There we go. We got that sun, bright morning star living in our heart. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Tribulation is that word thalipsis. Somebody described it once as mental pressure. Philippians 1:16. The one treats Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. in one more verse. Like I said, it's a wonderful word study. It's just very enlightening to go to God's word to find out what we're up against sometimes in this world. But then here is a really wonderful truth from God's word. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be God, verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that just such a wonderful promise? He's the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of our pressure, all of our distress, all of our affliction, all the trouble that we have. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, sometimes when you think about the power of God, the word comfort doesn't come to mind, but I think it's very powerful. He comforts us in all of our mental pressure, that we may be able to comfort them in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So where do we find this? Where do we find this comfort, this God's comfort? You know, how do we tap into it? How do we get under its umbrella, so to speak? Well, I think we can find it everywhere because he is the God of all comfort. But I've outlined a few things, a few places from the scriptures that we can find it. I'm going to spend a little bit of time going through these, but then we'll move on from there. Number one, in the manifestations, like we heard tonight, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. There you go. We heard comfort tonight. We heard edification, exhortation. We know that he loves us. We heard that he loves us, that he cares for us, that we can cast all of our care to him. That's comfort. Another place that we can find this comfort, that we can, you know, I want to say tap into it, freely avail ourselves to it, get it when we need it. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we can go to the scriptures to find this comfort, to find this God, to get to know the God of all comfort. We can go to the scriptures. Like I say, if he's the God of all comfort, it's not going to be hard to find the comfort that we need when we need it. It's in there. It's God-breathed. Another scripture that I'd like to go to is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we have strong consolation. It's impossible for God to lie. That we can have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What a great comfort that brings to our heart. Doesn't it say in dealing with the Lord's return and coming together, to gather together the saints, comfort one another with these words? There's great comfort there. And another way that we can find this comfort is, I'm going to say answered prayer. Because I don't want the focus to be on prayer. Because, you know, you see bumper stickers, prayer changes things. Well, so does having children. It's not the prayer that changes things. It's the God who loves to answer the prayers. It's God who changes things. The focus is on how much God cares for us, his children, how willing and able he is to deliver us. So I don't want to do, you know, I got a few Greek words to share, but not many, because I really want the focus of the teaching is to see how much he cares for us, how concerned he is about every detail of our life. But I'd like to go to Luke 18:1 on this, on prayer. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 4. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, in the parables that Jesus Christ used to teach his followers, you're looking for one specific main point in the parable. That's what he was trying to convey in the parables. And sometimes, you know, you can get lost over spiritualizing every little point. Well, this one's an easy one because he says right off the bat, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint means to lose one's courage, to be faint-hearted, especially in view of trials or difficulty, to despond, to lose heart. So instead of fainting, instead of being discouraged, men ought always to pray. Saying, verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? Yeah, that's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. We're not going to weary him. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? And according to the Young's translation, the article is the right way to believe on the earth. Nevertheless, when the Son comes, shall he find the right way to believe on the earth? Well, in this context, the right way to believe is to always faint and don't lose heart. Always faint and don't get discouraged, because God will deliver us speedily. So that's Luke 18:1 and following. And then I'm going to go through and read a few psalms that I picked out. And just by reading them by context, you know, they had the same problem we did. They had Philipsis back then. And many times it was just translated trouble. But these are wonderful psalms. And what I want to show here is that if God would be this good to servants, to adopted children, how much more for his children that are born of his seed, those that have Christ in them. First one is Psalm 50, verse 15. This is still in the category of prayer, of answered prayer. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Isn't that a, that sounds like a wonderful promise. You know, and God doesn't change. You know, the nature of God doesn't change. Who he is doesn't change. Administrations change. You know, the way God deals with man changes. But the Lord, God, doesn't change. So these are just wonderful truths that he's not, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend me. There's another one that says, blessed is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. And I think that's wonderful because when God called Jacob, Jacob had nothing. And God gave him everything. Turned his name into Israel. Psalm 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. That's a wonderful prayer. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful mind picture? You know, that God will hide us in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. And he has set me up upon a rock. Psalm 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 37. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. And that word salvation could be understood as the deliverance. But the deliverance of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. You know, and when I read that, I think sometimes maybe people try to deliver themselves. But the deliverance comes from God. The deliverance comes from a God that answers our prayer. It says that the prayer of the upright is his delight. It says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. He wants to answer our prayer. He just yearns to deliver us from everything. Now in the New Covenant scriptures, Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the working translations of A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles by Walter Cummins, in a time of need, he translates it, timely help. And this word boldly doesn't mean, you know, you come and telling God what to do. I mean, you're coming. It's the Greek word, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but maybe not. Pharisia. It's translated boldness and confidence. It's the speaking all one thinks. That is to say, free spokenness, as characteristic of a frank and fearless mind. Hence, boldness, openness, or frankness. Perhaps also sometimes implying confidence or assurance. I'm going to do one scripture that I think describes this word. In John, the Gospel of John 11, verse 14. This was the account when Jesus Christ was raising Lazarus from the dead, and he told his disciples, he sleepeth. And they said, well, he's doing great. He's doing well if he sleepeth. And then this 11:14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It's plainly. It's just openly. That's a wonderful word study. You know, this, and this, let us therefore come boldly, let us with free speech come unto the throne of grace. It's not a throne of where God's going to remind you of your sins or your shortcomings or your mistakes. It's grace, unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Timely help. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful invitation for us as children. Okay, our next verse is Philippians. And I know these verses are probably familiar to all of us, but it's sometimes necessary to just remind ourselves how for us God is and how he wants to answer our prayers. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful invitation. This word, careful for nothing. I think we want to look at that because, you know, if you're not familiar with this word, you think it's okay to be careful for nothing. But some things we have to be careful for, like, you know, crossing a street or working with live electrical cables. Tonight I was careful about where I put my water because I didn't want it to get all over my table. But that's not this kind of careful. This kind of careful is, it's the Greek word, paraneo. Another great word study. Strong's number 3309. It means to be anxious about, to have anxious or distracting care, to be full of anxiety, which divides up and distracts the mind, to be full of care, anxious, to be full of anxious or distracting thoughts. You know, I think sometimes worried, overmuch thinking. You know, sometimes things come up in life, and God says here, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A good friend of mine taught this once. It says, let your requests be made known unto God, not your solutions. I always like that. And then here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who doesn't want that? There's another verse I want to, that goes along with this, be careful for nothing. Psalm 94:18 through 19. verse 18. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And that multitude of those thoughts is those many, many overmuch thinking, things that want you to make you worry. But when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. We're getting close to the last couple of verses here. 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to read this, actually, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going to read this from the Working Translation of A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles. Chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore be humbled under the strong hand of God, so that he may lift you up in time. Cast your every concern upon him because he cares about you. That word concern is that same word in Philippians where it says, be careful for nothing, anxious, maranao. Cast your every concern. Seeing this humble under the strong hand of God, this humbleness is, it's being dependent upon God. You know, it's not this attitude of, well, this is not my first rodeo. I've been through this trouble before. I'm not going to pray about this because it's such a little thing. Maybe God doesn't care. God wants us to cast our every care, our every concern upon him because he cares for us, because he cares about us. He has great concern for us, great care for us. If you look up that word, careful for nothing, care, that maranao, you're going to see in the Gospels where it's where God says, don't be over concerned, don't be over worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In another Gospel, not to be worried because he has numbered the hairs on our head, the most intimate details of our life, the most insignificant details, the hairs that fall out of our head. He numbers them just to show how much he cares for his people. Another one, it says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it's a wonderful thing to see how minutely God cares for his people, to see it from the scriptures. And I'd like to close in Psalm 23. I was thinking about, you know, I just wanted to read a section of scripture that demonstrated God's great love and care and concern for us. And there's many, you know, Romans 8, you know, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? There's a, you know, all the church epistles, right? Ephesians. But I thought in light of walking here in this world where we will find tribulation, I thought that the 23rd Psalm would be a wonderful way to close it. That God is not a shepherd, but this describes who he is. Jesus Christ was called the good shepherd, and he always did the Father's will. He made known God. So it's Psalm 23, and I just thought this would be a great thing to just enjoy, you know, maybe as you're preparing to pray, preparing to cast all your care, to think about this. The Lord, and also I thought, you know, God had David to write this. And you can't get more humble than sheep. You know, a sheep is utterly dependent upon the shepherd. And, you know, if anything happens to that sheep, it's kind of the shepherd's responsibility. So David, by revelation, you know, God-breathed word, is making the Lord his shepherd. I'm going to just read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lamb's had a great understanding of this, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Many times when the shepherd had to bring the sheep from one pasture to another, they take a shortcut and go through a valley. And it's the valley of the shadow of death because there were lots of places for predators to hide, wolves or whatever, you know. So it was the shadow of death. Well, though I walk through as a sheep, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod and that staff, it was not only, it had a crook, but it was a club that the shepherd could defend and ward off those that would harm the sheep. You know, I just put myself in those sheep place, you know. Hey, I've seen them use that staff before. I'm not going to be afraid. We'll go through this valley of death. I'm not going to fear any evil because thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Then verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I think when I read that, I think every time God answers a prayer of mine, he's shoving it in the enemy's face. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our God cares about us. He loves us. We are the objects of his concern. We are his beloved children. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, and thank you so much for the joint answered prayer that we, our partnership with you, that as a father loves his children, so you love us. We're so grateful for your love, for your concern, for your care over our lives, that we can walk without fear in this world, even though we might have trouble from time to time. Thank you that that trouble doesn't come from you, that you are light and in you is no darkness. We praise you for giving us an understanding of how good you are in your word. We sure love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.